exploring. A brand new biography of Ireland's greatest adventurer, our very own Tom Crean, which sheds new light on his often mysterious life, his early years and his naval career, as well as his famous Antarctic expeditions, has just been released by the author Tim Foley. It really is a fascinating read, and not alone does it give you new insights into just how widely Tom Crean travelled, but it also corrects some of the myths and mistakes about his life that have become popular, common knowledge, if you like. Tim Foley really did phenomenal amounts of research into Tom Crean for this really, really fascinating biography. I caught up with Tim earlier. He was here visiting us from his home in Manchester. He was here for a book tour and a book signing in various bookshops in Kerry. And at the outset, he told me where his original interest in Tom Crean springs from.
My father's sister lived in Annascore. She married an Annascore man. So from being a young age, I was aware of this pub called the South Pole Inn. I'm passing Murphy's and Sullivan's and thinking, South Pole Inn, what's the crack there? And my intrigue led to a greater curiosity. And then when I was older, I discovered who Tom Crean was and what he'd done. I read an account in the Capuchin Annual of 1952, and I was fascinated by it. So that's what sparked my interest.
That's where it came from.
Yeah.
And are you a writer anyway, or?
Well, I do write, but this book is my first book, but I have written articles in a different sector. I was a kitchen contractor for 25 years, but I wrote articles about kitchens for our kitchen trade magazines back in the UK and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay, so this is a real labour of love, I'd imagine.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, the goal for me is, the continual goal is always to get Tom Crean's name out there. I mean, his story is deserving of international attention, not just here in Ireland, you know?
Absolutely.
It's absolutely incredible what he did.
There was a big resurgence of interest in him about 15 years ago.
There
was a one-man play about his life.
That's correct, yeah.
Which toured Ireland and all that.
Yeah.
I'm sure other books have been written about him. Why did you feel there was a need for another book?
Well, it just so happened that in 2010 I created a campaign for Tom Crean to be honoured by Ireland. So,
To be what?
I created a campaign for Tom Crean to be honoured by Ireland.
Oh, right, okay.
Well, initially it was for Kerry Airport, but they declined.
You wanted to call Tom Crean Airport?
Tom Crean Airport, yeah. And the board declined a great proposal we put forward in 2015. I thought, why concentrate just on Kerry? I mean, this guy belongs to Ireland. He's, you know, so I broadened the aspect of the social media pages and called it Ireland Should Honour Tom Crean. I created a campaign, and then in 2016 I set up a petition. One of the first signatories of that petition was the guy who eventually put the proposal forward for RV Tom Crean. And the goal was realised in January 2021. So, yeah.
How do you mean the goal was realised?
Well, the Marine Institute named a vessel RV Tom Crean, and that was government funded. So Ireland did honour Tom Crean.
Very good. Well done you for being so persistent.
Yeah, it's good.
And I noticed in the press release that it says the book shed some new light on his often mysterious life. Where did you go for your sources? Did your sources take you all over?
Everywhere. I was pretty relentless. You know, I was burning the midnight oil for years trying to discover sources. But the 7 years prior to him going to Antarctica, the ships that he'd sailed on revealed his story. And to imagine that Tom Crean, as a 17-year-old, did a 10,000-mile journey to the west coast of the Americas, and he set foot on Hawaii, Tahiti. It's just incredible. And it was at a time when British Empire was safeguarding the needs of the crown along that West Pacific coast. But there was a lot of events as well, battles for territory, etc. It's a different era to the cruise liners that go to Hawaii now. But it's just fascinating to think that Tom Crean in 1895 spent Christmas and New Year in Honolulu.
Wow, that's pretty exotic.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he went to Acapulco, San Diego. In 1897, he was in Seattle on Independence Day. So there's a whole backstory that was never unearthed. So,
and where were you able to get that? Were there archives, information online?
Archives, yeah, yeah. I mean, we live in a time when our archives if you know where to look, you'll find the stories. So I found the stories of the ships, and that revealed Tom Crean's story to me. Mm-hmm. So we spent 3.5 years there in the Americas, and then he came back and had to go to Australia, you know, and he was on Ringarooma for over a year and a half before he even set foot on Discovery for his first
expedition
to Antarctica.
Yeah. Incredible.
So it's just an incredible story, but there was a lot of inaccuracies entered Tom Crean's timeline as well.
Okay, tell me more.
Such as him being 15 when he joined the Navy and had to lie about his age. That's not true. He was almost 16 and a half. Had he been 15, he'd never had to have lied, because the Navy were actively recruiting boys from 15 to 16 and a half years old anyway.
Okay.
It's been said that he had five brothers and four sisters, and he was one of 10. He had 7 brothers, 3 sisters, and one of 11. It was also noted that his mother had died after return from the Discovery Expedition in 1904. She died in 1924. So it's mistakes like that I was really keen to try and correct and put into his storyboard and put the storyboard right.
What did you glean about Crean himself, the man, the personality? Because, I mean, he was obviously made of tough stuff. He was obviously incredibly brave. What did you learn about the kind of man he was?
He had so many facets to his character. It's incredible. He's a wit, humour, courage, determination. You know, he just the whole spectrum. Mm-hmm. And he's just an incredible man. He never gave up. He's loyal. Yeah, just never gave up in anything he pursued.
And was he in any way conflicted? I mean, I know that part of the reason we didn't honour him in this country for so long was because people didn't speak about the fact that he was with the with the British, on a British expedition. Did that ever weigh heavily on his mind? Were you able to find out about that side of him?
I don't think he did. I mean, he retained his Irishness straight from the off. I mean, he was flew the Irish ensign on his sleigh in Discovery. There's accounts of him singing "Wearing of the Green" often, and no, I don't think he did. And it was acceptable to the volunteers in Kerry that guys could join the Navy, strangely enough, but not the Army. And I often think to myself, I wonder why that was. And it's possible that because they're less likely to meet someone in the Navy in the field of battle. So it was acceptable to them. There's the written documentation of that,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the Irish military archives. So,
Did he ever come close to almost dying on any of those expeditions? Because, I mean, he was in some appalling situations.
I'm sure he did. When you consider that he's walking like 35 miles for the solo trek that he did, that's the most famous of his achievements, I guess. He's walking in an environment that's colder than an indoor freezer. So. Yeah, and he's exposed to blizzards and storms like we could never imagine, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and he did have a couple of duckings. He went under the ice, but that was early on. I've got an account of him falling through the ice. Two guys pulled him out, and he carried on working to free Discovery from the ice, mm-hmm. and fell in again. He was just a determined, resolute character like you would never
Incredible resilience.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Did you find out much, Tim, about how he adjusted to what we might call normal life when he came back from all his travels, when the expeditions were all done? Because I know he didn't get married until relatively late in life.
Yeah, 1917 he got married, so he was around about 40 when he got married. But he retired in 1920. Yeah, he just stepped back into life as if with great normality. He was a very popular neighbour. He was popular in Annascull, around Annascull. Kids loved him. So yeah, I mean, he stepped back into life quite seamlessly, really.
It must have been difficult to research that aspect of his personality.
Yeah, it was because he did rarely talk about Antarctica and his time in the Navy. He did speak about it with close friends, and there's an oral historian here in Kerry who's done some great interviews, and I picked up a couple of things from that. Maurice O'Keefe?
Yeah, we know Morris.
Yeah, yeah. So I picked up a couple of that people had left who knew him, who actually were friendly with him. Mm-hmm. So that was great. That was a great an almost direct link. You don't get a direct source.
Exactly.
Really.
And does your book, Tim, take us from when he was born right up to his death?
Yes. Yeah, it takes us from when he was born up to his death and beyond, up to the
legacy,
up to the legacy and the campaign, and hopefully we'll do more than just the vessel. But there's some really interesting stuff. There's like before he went on his penultimate assignment before he went on Endurance was on a ship called HMS Enchantress, which was the Admiralty ship. And it's significant because Winston Churchill was on that ship at the same time as Tom Crean. Can you imagine? Tom Crean singing "Wearing the Green," passing Churchill.
Say that again. He was?
No, I'm just imagining Tom Crean singing "Wearing of the Green,"
passing Churchill
on deck.
On deck, that would be funny, all right.
Yeah.
And how ironic is it that for a man who endured so much, that he died of appendicitis?
Yeah, I mean, it's when he needed the help that he freely offered to and risked his life to save others, it wasn't there.
Yeah, medicine hadn't evolved to that extent in Kerry.
Well, no, I think it was because the doctor capable of performing the appendicitis that he had wasn't in Tralee at the time, so a delay occurred because he had to travel to Cork. And then the toxemia set in and he died.
It was too late.
Yeah.
By then.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. And have you met or spoken to any of his descendants?
I have, yeah. I met his eldest daughter in 2011. I sought her out and had a good chat with her over a couple of days. She told me that his favourite song was "The Mountains of Mourn." And a relative of mine over in Castlemaine is a great singer. He knows that song. I didn't know it, but I was able to strum the guitar. We went back the following day and played it for her. But yeah, that was lovely to meet. I mean, she's a wonderful woman. Mm. Just yeah, all I expected, you know.
Yeah, amazing
and beyond.
So is this a book for people who are interested in expeditions and the Navy and everything, or is it more of a human interest story?
It's a human interest story. I focus on Tom Crean's life. I am not a polar author. I've got an interest in polar history, but I've got no plans to write any further books on polar history. You know, I'm from Manchester. I've just not got the thing I've got is My longest trek would be from the city to the fridge nowadays, you know? And it'd be the coldest trek. But no, it's entirely about Tom Crean. I just want to get his story out there because it's so incredible. It's more incredible than we ever imagined, you know?
Yeah.
So it's more extensive. I mean, he travelled to every continent. I had Tom Crean in disembarking a ship in Africa. There's a little bit of mystery to that. Mm-hmm. But in 1917, he disembarked a ship, HMS King Alfred, in Sierra Leone. That doesn't appear on his naval record, So there's a little bit of mystery, and I speculate about it in the post, because we were in the First World War, and U-boats were targeting freight ships. So it may be that he was there for that purpose.
Yeah.
Then later on, he went to Russia. He was in Russia in 1919 for what's called the North Russia, what was called the Northern Russia intervention. And there he met Frank Worsley, who he'd travelled across South Georgia with, and they spent some time together. Ought to be a fly on the wall at that conversation.
I'll bet, absolutely. Yeah. So, my God, he was even more widely travelled than most of us know.
Absolutely, yeah. So the time he was in Africa pretty much confirmed to me that he'd been to every continent in the world. Which, most people associate Tom Crean's story with Antarctica, and rightly so, because of his incredible feats there. But to discover that he'd been all over, you know, Alaska. When he was serving on Wild Swan, which was his first ship, that safeguarded 133 degrees of latitude from the Arctic Circle down to the Antarctic Circle. That's huge, you know. So you're taking in countries like America, Canada, Alaska, Chile, Nicaragua, Mexico. Yeah.
What a life.
I know. It's just incredible.
Can't wait to read the book myself, because he is such a fascinating character. The very best of luck with it, Tim.
Thank you, Deirdre.
And that was Tim Foley, who has written this new must-read biography of Tom Crean. And just to give you the details on it, it's called Crean, The Extraordinary Life of an Irish Hero by Tim Foley. It's published by Merrion Press, and it's available all over Kerry in bookshops. Tim was actually here recently doing book signings in Listowel, Dingle, Killarney, and Mahoney's here in Tralee, and he got a great reception, I believe. So if Tom Crean and explorers is your thing, don't miss this book. Even if you're not interested in the Antarctic, it's a great human interest story. Fantastic yarn indeed. Now we're going to take a break, and I think